My word has power, and I claim all goodness in my life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. My word has power, and I claim all goodness in my life. One of our students from Africa wrote an email this morning, and in the email he asked some questions. He asked questions about spirit, and he asked questions about breath, and he asked questions about all sorts of interesting things that, you know, are what they are. And so I wrote him and I said, his name, by the way, is Okay. And he's Okay. I wrote and I said, Okay, these are my opinions of what those words mean. Now, you can have your opinion of what those words mean also, if you like, because other people have opinions of what their words mean, and so what? All we need to know, if I am going to talk with you, and we're going to have a conversation, we've got to use the same vocabulary. We've got to use the same definition of terms, because if we don't use the same definition of terms, we can't communicate. So, if I say to you something in German, and you don't understand German, but you listen to my body language, and you listen to the sparkle in my eyes, and you listen to the laughter in my voice, and you get the idea that maybe it's something okay. And you say, I don't really understand what you're saying, but it sounds like it might be good. And if it's good, I'm for that, you know. So if it's not good, I don't even hear you saying it. I don't even understand it. But I only know that all good is in my life. I claim all goodness in my life. That's all I claim. That's all I know. So then, as I told the gentleman from, he's our Reverend Okay, I said, Reverend Okay, remember, whatever you call anything, that's what it is. And if you want to give a name to breath, that the breath of God, everything's the breath of God. If you want to give it the name, the breath of man, well, man always has breath, you know. Even when he doesn't have a body to have breath in, he has breath. And man has spirit. And man has mind. And man, this is something man doesn't always have. Man doesn't always have a brain. Now, how can I say man doesn't always have a brain? Because a man can, well, he's even got a brain then. But a man can be dead. And they call him brain dead. Yeah. That his brain does not function, and yet the functions of his body continue to function. And you say, well, how can that be? But you've heard of people being brain dead. And sometimes they're brain dead for a period of time, and they revive, which is quite interesting. However, what we're talking about here is, my word has power, and I claim all goodness in my life. So I use my words in a very wonderful, joyful, powerful, exotic existing way that just exudes everything exemplatory. And that's the way it should be, isn't it? That's the way it should be. I claim all goodness in my life. Where have you claimed all goodness in your life today? Mm-hmm. Have you said, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body?
Yes,
have I ever.
That's great. Have you said, I'm whole and perfect?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you said, this is a terrible thing? Have you said, I like me?
No.
Yeah. Have you said, I like me?
Yes.
And you see, when you say these things, you are claiming all good. Because can you think, can you even conceive of the possibility of bad things coming to a person who says, I like me? Of things that are not pleasant coming to a person who says, I like me? Only good things can come to a person who says, I like me. Let's say that a couple of times. Only good things can come to a person who says, I like me. Only good things can come to a person who says, I like me. Only good things can come to a person who says, I like me. Now, we'll say it this way too now. I say I like me, and I see all the good things that I am. I say I like me, and I see all the good things I am. I say I like me, and I see all the good things I am. I say I like me, and I see all the good things I am. I want to have, that's right, thank you. I want to have a beautiful body.
I have a beautiful body.
If you are so blind, you cannot see your beautiful body, then you have to start saying, I like me. Because when you start saying, I like me, then you start seeing the beautiful body you have. Everything already exists. Now, you are a little rascal. You like to play games. And so you, little rascal, go to your toy box. And you look in your toy box for something to play with. And today you feel like playing with the doll. So you take out a doll. Tomorrow you feel like playing with a teddy bear. The next day you feel like playing with your blocks. And each one is good. Each one is good. Now, today you have chosen to take your thought-molded object and mold it with your thought. So, your thought-molded object, it's just waiting. It's nothing. It's just a piece of undifferentiated matter. You like that?
Mm-hmm.
Undifferentiated matter. And then you say, okay, I am going to make a replica of who I am. Ooh-wee. I'm going to make a replica of who I am. Number one, is it a perfect physical form? My, yes. It is marvelous. Every detail of this physical form is absolutely perfect. My fingernails are just the way I like to have them. You know, my toenails are just the way, and my feet are just the perfect size for the ordinary shoes, you know, that I can wear any shoes. And my figure is such that I can wear any clothes. You know, I wear right off the rack, and they fit me just like a glove. It was designed for me, because I'm the perfect physique. Okay, now, I see my every organ I can function in my body. Absolutely perfect. Hey, what happened when they took your appendix out? What happened when this? Hey, that's gone. That's bad. This is a body that has everything in it, whether we need it or not. If it was there when we were born, it's there now. And if it doesn't serve a purpose, it doesn't serve a purpose. But it doesn't matter. I'm all there. I'm all that I was when I was created, when I created this body, my original purity and integrity. Now, how are my eyes? Ooh-wee. Do I have beautiful eyes? I look at Rex's eyes and I say, wow, he could just, you know, melt anybody. He looks at you with his eyes and his eyes say, I love you. Mm-hmm. But his eyes first say,
Cookie. I like me.
That's what Cookie. His eyes first say, I like me. And you know it. He likes himself.
Oh, yes.
And he trusts me completely. I put my hand right on top of his face, his eyes. He doesn't even blink him. He knows I wouldn't do anything to hurt him in the slightest. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And last night, in the darkness, we were walking down the hill, and he was collecting lumber. He picked some big, big sticks from the side of the path. They were big. They were at least, maybe 3 inches in diameter. That's big. And he was throwing it around saying, isn't this great? And then he was pulling because he laid that down and he wanted to get another one. I said, stop pulling. And he was pulling. And so I took my foot and I brushed it against his shoulder and I said, stop pulling. And he looked up at me and he says, whoops, I forgot I'm on the leash. You know, I'm always free. I see myself without the leash. I don't see myself pulling you. I never see myself on the leash. Now I'm on the leash. I forgot about it. You know, forgive me. And we went to the house. He didn't pull. Not one little bit. He stayed right with me, just like we were glued together. And when we got to the house, I took the leash off and I said, you sit. And he sat. And then I said, release. And he looked at me, he says, I want to stay here and think for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And so he stayed in that sitting position, thinking for a few minutes. And I went in the house. Later he came in and he nuzzled me and he says, I got the message. Mm-hmm. I got the message. I know you love me. And you see, this is the beauty of it. When we like ourselves, we are perfect. Now, how do we create our eyes? We create them that we can see everything. Do eyes see anything? No. The eyes only receive the vibrations of what we have created. And we have seen it before we send it out, and we see it before it comes back. We have just created those vibrations. And what about our voice? Is my voice a bunch of words that are coming out here? Quickly.
No.
What is it?
So it's thought put in motion.
It's vibrations. My thoughts make the air vibrate to its desire, and you interpret that as words, and then you don't only interpret it as words. You interpret it as sound. You interpret it as a melody. You interpret it as a harmonious sound or a negative sound. You interpret it as a melodious, you know. And when you hear Carl Haas's voice, what do you think? Oh, what a wonderful voice, you know. And so, what about your voice? You want Carl Haas's voice? No. But you want your voice. And you want your voice to reflect who you are, which it's doing right now. And are you changing your attitude about yourself a little bit? Are you being pure love? Are you being pure all-knowingness? Are you being all these neat things? Then your voice responds to that. No one would question you about anything because they know you know it. No one would question you about anything you say because they know whatever you say is true, even if you just made it up. No one would ever question you. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
And you see, this is the art of being. My word has power, and I claim all goodness in my life. You see, when you know that your word has power, and you speak your word and you say, all is in divine order. I have perfect eyes. Do you know what perfect eyes are? You haven't the biggest idea. All you know is that eyes presumably can see. Well, now, if you have perfect eyes, you can see in no light or in lots of light or in any light. You can see everything, and you see it clearly. And, my love, you can see with your eyes closed. Because you don't only see with your eyes. You see with your body sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's going on in your world. And so you see, when you start saying this wonderful statement here, my word is power, and I claim all goodness in my life, then you are saying that I have perfect eyes, and that is the all goodness in my life. Now, answer me if you want to. What do perfect eyes see?
Reflections?
Perfection, that's right. Perfect eyes see perfection. Perfect eyes only see perfection, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all perfect eyes are designed to see. And perfect eyes do not see reflections, because if they see reflections, they're seeing someone else's image. And if they see perfection, they're seeing your image. And you look out there, you look at that picture and you say, oh, I like that. And an artist comes along, looks at that picture and says, what a schlucky job. You know, that guy has no schmaltz about him, no taste, no quality of painting. And you say, but I like that. Well, if you were the painter, you'd have to like it, you know. I am. So you see, what we see is seen differently by different people. So we don't want to see that way. We want to see imperfection. We want to see perfection, not imperfection or imperfection. We want to see perfection. And how we see perfection is by first being perfect ourselves, in our mind, in our heart, in our thinking, in our world. And when we do that, then all the goodness in my life is there for me to claim. Complete. Complete. I don't have to wait for it. I don't have to let it happen. You know, our friend Edgar Casey, people would send him their illness, and he would go into his trance, and he would come up with a diagnosis and a prescription for the people, and they would take the prescription to the store, and the pharmacist would say, "I'm sorry, we don't have that." And then they'd go back to Edgar Cayce, and they'd say, "What's wrong here?" He'd say, "You've got to wait a couple of days. It's not yet on the market. It will be on the market in about 2 or 3 days. Just wait, be patient, be patient." You know? And so in 2 or 3 days, they went to the pharmacy again, and they had it. They had it. It was just, it sounds strange, doesn't it?
No.
It sounds strange. It sounds ironic, but it is true. It is true. Now, how could he do that?
Yeah.
He listened to his divine self, and he read the prescription from his divine pharmacy, and he gave the prescription in words to the secretary while he was under his trance. And the secretary gave it to the medical doctor, who confirmed that it was a good prescription and it had nothing in it that was harmful. And then they took it to the pharmacy and they had to wait a couple of days. Now, this is not just a one-time happening. I've read the Cayce literature, mm-hmm. and many people have, and it's fascinating. It's just fascinating. I read the story of Edgar Cayce, the story of him and his life and his world. It's just fascinating. But the thing is, how could he do that? He listened to the divine within him, reveal all these things, and revealing all these things, he was able to give it out. Now, can you say within yourself, "I know that I know that I know, and God in me knows the answer. I know that I know that I know. The divine pharmacy in me now has a prescription for me," you know? And, or, you know, if you're that good, what would you say, Sylvia?
"I'm whole and perfect.
I know that I know that I know I'm whole and perfect." Yeah? And if you're whole and perfect, you don't need a prescription. No, really.
Yeah.
You don't need a prescription. And if you are living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body, you don't need replacements. You don't need to have your appendix returned. It never left. That was just an illusion. You don't need to have this, that, or the other thing. You're whole and perfect. Think on these things. "My word has the power, and I claim all goodness in my life. And I tell you, ain't love grand? I love you. I love you.
I love you. You.